Now, I'm so thankful for the moment that we had in worship, whereas we're singing, "Worthy is the name." Something was captivated in this room. And I think that that's so important, especially going into the topic that I'm going to talk about today. You know, this topic, you have to be captivated by the goodness of God. You have to be captivated by his how holy he is, how worthy he is. You have to be captivated by the forgiveness that he has given you in your life as you've placed your faith in Jesus in order to walk in what we're going to talk about today. Much like Christy, as she's going through this new thing in her life, she's banking on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. She has to look to something higher, not just something within herself, but something higher. And the topic that I want to talk on today is the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I want this sermon to serve a threefold purpose. Number one, for those living in unforgiveness, I pray that this calls you to something higher. Because if you're a Christian, forgiveness is not just something you do. It's a part of who you are. It's a very part of who you are. And as impossible as it might feel to walk in forgiveness sometimes, it is possible, and there's good reason to. Secondly, it's for those who are living in forgiveness, but you don't think you are, due to a misunderstanding on what forgiveness actually is. And I pray that you can find encouragement and that you're released from the fear and the condemnation that says you haven't forgiven because you don't always feel those feelings of charity. And then lastly, for those of you who would say that you legitimately don't have any struggles with unforgiveness, it's not that you've never had to forgive or that you've never been wronged, but maybe you haven't faced the kind of betrayal or injustice that tends to create that stronghold of unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. But most likely, because we live in a fallen world, one day you will face that. And I pray that this serves as a preparation to fight against unforgiveness when it eventually does come knocking at your door. And I will admittedly say that I fall myself in this third category. You know, I've had wrong things done to me. I've had to forgive, but I'm not gonna pretend like I can identify with some of the battles that are faced in this room and the torture and the pain that living in forgiveness can feel like. I'm not gonna pretend like I can tell you how it's done because I've done it myself. What I will do is, and what we can all do is look to the Word of God when it comes to this topic. And when those times do come in my life, I pray that I'll have the strength to walk in the counsel and the wisdom of the scripture that I'm gonna share today. So whether you're living in unforgiveness and this needs to be a challenge to you, or you're living in forgiveness and this needs to be an encouragement, or maybe you just don't feel like forgiveness or unforgiveness is a battle that you're facing and this just needs to be a preparation, there's something for everyone. And I wanna share 4 points of what forgiveness is and what it is not. What it is and what it's not. Because there can so easily be a misunderstanding on what forgiveness is. Maybe, you know, cute short quotes that you heard growing up misinformed you on what forgiveness is. And so what I find is helpful is to take the misunderstanding and juxtapose it next to truth. So this is maybe what some people believe, but this is the truth of what forgiveness actually is, so that we can clearly see the difference and understand what it means to walk in forgiveness. So 4 things. If you like to take notes, I encourage you to take notes with these 4 main points. So what is forgiveness? Number one, forgiveness is not overlooking injustice. Forgiveness is trusting in God's justice. You see, one of the many hard parts of forgiving is that it feels like you're just letting the other person get away scot-free or without any consequences or just simply accepting what they did. It doesn't feel fair. But that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is trusting in the justice of God rather than taking it into your own hands. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 19 through 21. He said, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, this is the hard part, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the question is not, do I just let this person get away with it? The question is, do I trust God enough to allow him to exercise his justice in his way and in his time? That's what forgiveness is. And it's not, you know, taking on the mentality, God, you know, I pray that you John Wick this person because of what they did against me. Whatever his justice looks like, we're coming into agreement with that. Whatever his timing is, we're coming into agreement with that. Now, to clarify, this is not to say that there's no accountability for actions. If there's especially criminal activity, forgiveness doesn't mean sweeping it under the rug or being silent about things. To hold someone accountable legally doesn't mean that you can't forgive, okay? If there's a breach of trust in relationship because of things that have been done, forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to give that person the same kind of access and potential to hurt you again. Someone put it this way. They said, forgiveness does not dictate the future structure. It only wipes the slate clean. So if someone steals money from me, I can forgive them, but that doesn't mean I'm going to give them access to my bank account. Forgiveness is unconditional. Trust is something that is earned. So you can hold people accountable, but you leave the vengeance and you leave the wrath to God. Forgiveness is saying, I'm releasing this person to God. I'm not gonna let the hurt that this person, this church, this institution inflicted on me take the primary seat in my heart and in my mind, because that seat belongs to King Jesus alone. Amen? It's saying, God, I release this person to you and I trust in your justice. So forgiveness, it's not overlooking injustice, it's trusting in God's justice. And then secondly is this, contrary to what you might've heard, forgiveness is not forgetting, it's releasing. Forgiveness is not forgetting, it's releasing. We've all heard the saying, forgive and forget, right? You've probably been there, and we all know how impossible that is. We'll never forget some of the hurtful things or the traumatic things that happen in our lives. You know, I remember several years ago, when I was ministering in a nursing home, we would do a kind of what they, like they do at Harmony Home. We would do a short service, worship, and a word, and then we'd just go and interact with the residents afterwards. And a lot of the residents at this nursing home were wheelchair bound. Many of them had Alzheimer's or dementia, so some of them couldn't even talk with you. You just have a conversation with them, let them know that you're there. And there was this one lady that I would talk with two or three different times as I ministered there. I would talk with this lady, and her mind wasn't fully there. In fact, one time she asked me if I was her husband. Like, she just wasn't fully there. But she would always tell this story whenever I would talk with her. And the story didn't change. It wasn't like it was just this story that was made up. The story didn't change. It was consistent whenever she told it to me. And I remember kind of being shocked and heartbroken at of all the things that are happening in her mind, all the things that she's forgetting, all the dementia and all, or whatever's going on, she still remembers this experience. She still remembers this story that she, or this time in her life. And it was a story of when her father abused her as a child. Of all the things that she remembered, that's what she remembered. And she would talk about it with me. You see, we can't forget. But some people have been told that if you want to forgive, you have to forget. And so they internalize their emotions and they pretend like things didn't happen, or they pretend like they're not still hurt by what happened. And the product of trying to suppress and forget that painful moment ends up being more harmful to you than the original act in the first place. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is choosing not to hold their past mistakes over them and releasing them from your anger and your bitterness. It's releasing. And by releasing them, you release yourself from the prison that unforgiveness truly is. Someone said it like this. They said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. You may never forget, but you can release. So forgiveness is not overlooking injustice. It's trusting in God's justice. Forgiveness is not forgetting, it's releasing. And then thirdly is this, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. Ephesians 4:32, the Apostle Paul said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So kindness, tenderhearted, or in other words, compassion, that's something that we can extend whether we feel like it or not, right? You ever had to be nice to someone even though you didn't feel like it, especially as kids? If you grew up with siblings, your parents, be nice, right? It's a choice. It's choosing to release. It's choosing kindness. It's choosing to trust the justice of God. It's choosing to love your enemy. It's choosing to do all of that even when our emotions aren't fully in it. Is it hard? Absolutely. But many of us are accustomed to doing things that we don't feel like doing all the time anyways. Because if we simply lived by our emotions, by the way that we felt, man, we'd be all over the place. Sometimes it's hard enough to not be all over the place as it is, let alone when our emotions are guiding us. I almost think of it as, you know, running or exercising. In my life, at different times when I've started to exercise or run, it's my will that carries me in those first couple months. My emotions are saying, what are you doing? This hurts, this is uncomfortable. I don't feel like doing it. It's my will that carries me. But it's interesting what happens when you stick with it over a couple months. I find that I start to crave working out, or I start to crave running. In other words, my emotions eventually catch up with my will. As I choose to forgive as an act of my will, over time, and maybe it might even be years, your emotions will start to change as well. But until then, we always have to remind ourselves of this. As the passage said, it says, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. God's forgiveness. And this is why I said at the beginning that we have to be captivated by the goodness of God. We have to be captivated by God's forgiveness in our life in order to walk in this, because God's forgiveness in our lives, that's the motivation when our emotions aren't. That's the thing that keeps us going. It's saying if God can forgive this incredible debt that I owed, if God could do that in my life, then I can forgive this person. It's saying as a son or daughter of God, this is who I am. Forgiveness is a core part of my identity. Every emotion in your heart might feel like hate and bitterness towards another. Forgiveness doesn't look like trying to just forcefully change those emotions, because you can't. You can't force the change in the emotions. It's saying, God, you know I don't want to do this, but change my heart. Help me to choose forgiveness instead. Corrie ten Boom, the famous Holocaust survivor, once recounted a story where after a service where she was speaking on forgiveness, she came face to face with one of the men who was a guard at the Ravensbrück concentration camp where her and her sister Betsy had been kept. And unthinkable things happened at this concentration camp. And the man didn't recognize her, but he came up to her and he told her that he was a guard at Ravensbrück, and he went on to say this. He said, but since that time I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, and he extended his hand towards her, said, will you forgive me? And Corrie ten Boom wrote this. She said, and I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven, and I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart, but forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. And she said this, she said, I wish I could say that merciful and charitable thoughts just naturally flowed from me from then on, but they didn't. If there's one thing I've learned at 80 years of age, it's that I can't store up good feelings and behavior, but can only draw them fresh from God each day. Forgiveness is making a choice, even when the emotion isn't there. But not only is it a choice, but fourth point, it's a daily choice. Forgiveness is not a one-time event, it's an ongoing commitment. This is the part of forgiveness that I think that we often misunderstand. Forgiveness is, it's not just a one-time event, it is an ongoing and daily commitment. Someone put it this way, they said, true forgiveness is not an action after the fact, it is an attitude with which you enter each moment. In Matthew chapter 18, the apostle Peter came to Jesus with this question. He said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Or other translations say 70 times seven. In other words, it's limitless. There is no limit. Now, what's interesting is one commentator said that first century rabbis, so the religious leaders of that day, taught the people that one ought to forgive, get this, three times. That was the standard, the religious standard for the day. You forgive three times. And they pulled this number out of the first chapter of the Old Testament book, Amos. It was a misunderstanding, but they thought, well, you forgive up to three times. And so Peter thinks, hey, I'm being super generous here. Now, I'm saying seven times. I'm doubling what the expectation of even religious leaders is. And Jesus takes it to another level and is like, basically, your forgiveness is not to have a limit. It's saying even if someone sins against you in a continuous fashion, you're to forgive them. But I think that there's something deeper to what Jesus is saying here as well. And I think that this is more often our experience. See, what Jesus is calling us to forgive is not just the act of sin against us, but also the many consequences of that sin. Don't miss this. This is so important. It's not just forgiving the act that was committed against us. It's forgiving the many consequences of that sin. Because sin, it's not just an individual act that's committed in this vacuum and is singular in nature. Sin is so much more like a web or a network. One sin committed can affect generations, can affect multiple people. Sin is not a single stab wound. It's like a grenade that shoots shrapnel everywhere, impacting different people in different ways, impacting for generations. And it's one thing to forgive an action that occurred in the past, and it's another thing to forgive the consequences of that action that you still face on a daily basis. But we're called to forgive both. So as the woman I talked about in the nursing home, when you're abused by someone who you should have been able to trust, it's one thing to forgive the sin against you. It's another thing to choose forgiveness every time you experience the trust issues it has caused in your life. Every time you have that trauma-induced anxiety take over you. Every time you struggle to see your self-worth. When you're betrayed by your spouse or a friend or family member or business partner. It's one thing to forgive the act of betrayal. It's another thing to choose forgiveness every time you feel the pains of that betrayal. Every time the anger wants to rise up in your heart when you hear their name or you see their face. Every time you're reminded of what could have been but was taken from you. Jesus said to forgive 7 times 70 or 490 times. And many times what that looks like for us is forgiving that person that one time they hurt us deeply. And then 489 other times I feel the consequence of that pain. Now, I think some people truly are living in forgiveness, but every time they feel the consequence of that sin against them and the anger wants to rise up, they get discouraged thinking, I truly haven't forgiven the other person. But the tension that you're feeling is that you may have forgiven the act in the past, but you still have to choose forgiveness for the consequence of today. Forgiveness is not just a one-time act, it's an ongoing thing. And the truth is that some days we may fail to extend that forgiveness. And other days we choose to walk in forgiveness. But as Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous fall 7 times and rises again. The righteous fall 7 times and rises again. If you miss the mark one day, get up in the strength and the grace of God and choose forgiveness the next day. R.T. Kendall said this. He said, total forgiveness is a life sentence. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. So summary, or for a summary, forgiveness is not overlooking injustice. It's trusting in God's justice. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's releasing. Forgiveness is not simply a feeling. It is an act of the will. And forgiveness is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing commitment. And this is what it means to forgive. And as Corrie ten Boom said, sometimes it's the hardest thing we will have to do in our lives. But here's why we do it. We do it because God forgave us and he's asked us to extend that forgiveness to others. We do it because forgiveness is not a hindrance to our own healing process, it's a part of it. We do it because it's a testimony to the grace of God working in us. And we do it because as children of God, forgiveness is not just something we do, it's a part of who we are. So what might that look like to walk in forgiveness on a daily basis? If forgiveness is an act of the will, what might some of those acts look like? Just wanna give you 3 real quick. Number one, and this is gonna be hard, stop talking about it. About the other person, about the thing that they did to you. Now, going back to what I said earlier, this doesn't mean sweeping it under the rug. Criminal things need to be reported. There does need to be accountability. And there are times when things need to come to the light with the right people for the sake of healing. So it's not just saying that you closet it up and don't ever talk about it. What it's saying is stop talking about it every chance that you get. Stop bringing it up with the intention of painting that other person in a bad light as some form of revenge against them. Stop speaking in anger and resentment about the other person. Stop reliving what happened with other people. Forgiveness isn't always about what you do, it's about what you choose not to do. So maybe stop talking about it. Secondly, it might look like shielding the other person from condemnation. Or shielding them from shame. In Romans 8:1, it says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when God forgave us, he completely freed us from condemnation, completely freed us from the shame of that. Can you imagine God saying, I forgive you, and then constantly treating us and speaking to us in a way that condemned us and that reminded us of our shame? He doesn't do that. He covers us, and we do the same for others. It means that we don't weaponize the guilt that they may feel in an effort to get things out of them with comments like, are you really gonna let me down again? Or after everything I've been through, you can't do this for me? Or why can't you be more like that person? Cover them in the way that God has covered you. And then thirdly, just pray for them. Nothing's gonna soften your heart towards the other person so much as praying for them. In the moments when your anger wants to rise up, pray that God gives you the grace to choose forgiveness for that moment, and then pray for the person. And I'm not talking about the David prayer that says, break the teeth of my enemies, Lord. But if they're unrepentant, pray for God's conviction. Pray that he would draw them to himself. Pray for God's blessing over them. Pray that the enemy doesn't use shame and guilt to keep that person stuck in that place for the rest of their life. Just pray for them. And I'm telling you that although I may not have experienced this personally, there's something immediately evident in the man or woman who has been hurt deeply and chooses to forgive. Immediately evident. There is a love, there is an anointing, there is a spiritual authority that that person commands. And here's why, as one person put it, says, we are most like beasts when we kill, we are most like men when we judge, and we are most like God when we forgive. There's a testimony that's there when you choose to walk in that forgiveness anyways. Now, in closing, we can't talk about horizontal forgiveness, right? Forgiveness for our brothers and sisters without also talking about vertical forgiveness. God's forgiveness for us. Living in forgiveness falls so far short if we aren't living forgiven. But the good news is we can. We can live forgiven. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 5:8, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 1:7, in him, we have the redemption through his blood, in other words, his sacrifice for us, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Romans 4:7-8, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. See, more important than any sin we will ever forgive is the forgiveness that Christ extends towards each one of us. But this forgiveness, it's not just automatically applied, it's actualized through faith. Through placing your faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, by grace, by the grace of God, you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing, it's the gift of God. It's not a result of work so that no man can boast. It's not about me trying to prove myself or to try to make up for what I did. It's simply placing my faith in Jesus and by his grace, by his love, he forgives me. Jesus called this being born again. We've all had our first physical birth, right? We came from our mother's womb, but we need a second birth or a spiritual birth. Being born again, we like to say it's ABC. A is admitting I need a savior. There's nothing I can do to make up for my sin to God. I can't go to church enough. I can't try to right all the wrongs that I've done. I can't try to hope that my good at the end of my life outweighs the bad. There's nothing I can do. I'm admitting I need someone to intervene for me. I'm completely helpless without God. I can't earn my way to heaven. I'm in need of a savior. And then B, this is where faith comes in. It's believing that what you couldn't do for yourself, God has done for you. Through the death of his son on the cross. It's saying, by faith, I'm choosing to believe that Jesus died for my sins so that he could forgive me and that he rose from the dead to give me not just forgiveness of my sins, but victory over them. It's placing our trust in Jesus. And then lastly, C, confess. This is saying Jesus is Lord of my life. And this is where we get the power ultimately to forgive others. It's saying God has done this for me. Not only do I live forgiven, but his spirit lives inside of me and empowers me to walk in the forgiveness that he asks me to extend to other people. And because this is what he asks of me, I'm gonna surrender it all to him. And when we admit and we believe and we confess, that's what the Bible says, being born again. So in closing, what I wanna do, I do wanna have a time of a ministry moment for those that are in the room that maybe you'd say, I have been struggling with forgiveness. I've been struggling with unforgiveness, this thing that this person or this institution, or maybe it was some church hurt, things that happened, and you've been struggling with that unforgiveness and you just want a release of that. You need a moment of ministry. I wanna invite those people up to the altar in a moment, or even those that would say, I've been living in forgiveness, but I recognize it is a daily choice. And I just need that grace of God again to choose to forgive again today, because it's been hard lately. If that's you, we're gonna have a ministry moment in a second. But if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, if you would say that vertically you've never gotten that right, I wanna pray a prayer, and I'm just gonna ask that we would all pray this together. And there's nothing special about this prayer. It's just a heart that in faith says, God, I wanna admit and I wanna believe and I wanna confess. I pray for your forgiveness for my sins. And I wanna walk in that same forgiveness towards others. And if you've never made that faith commitment to Jesus, I'm gonna pray this prayer. And the Bible says when you believe in your heart, a spiritual rebirth happens. It looks different. For some, it's a very emotional experience. For others, it may not feel like anything happened. But anytime something's reborn, there's new life there. And it starts to manifest in your life. And so if you've never made that commitment, I'm gonna pray this prayer and just repeat after me. And if I can have everyone, just pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen.